You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. With fires burning as they are across California, Governor Brown has made a number of emergency declarations for counties across the state. He also reached out to the president for federal disaster aid. And with that, let me bring in the political junkie, Ken Rudin. And Ken, I know you're watching. There is a lot of pain and destruction out here right now.
Beth, it's, let me just say what an amazing job Capital Public Radio is doing on this. This is just a superb effort and exactly why we need public radio more now than ever.
So California has been asking for help. It's terrifying that every year our fire season, our intensity seems to get worse. California did get a response from the president, and I think that that's important in spite of political differences or resistance. When there is a natural disaster, everybody needs to come together.
Well, you know, that sounds true. Of course, that's true. And even in horrific times, like in the aftermath of 9/11 or when Gabby Giffords was shot in Arizona, it seems like Congress and every Democrats and Republicans do get together, and that lasts all of 15 minutes. The problem is when you think of Governor Brown asking for federal relief and federal help to try to combat these fires. You put that in the face of Donald Trump's tweet over the weekend that says that he's going to shut down the government in a fit of pique because he's not getting the $26 billion he needs to build the wall, the border wall with Mexico. So when you realize, I mean, this is a time like this is exactly when you realize how important the role of government is in our everyday lives, and to see the president just cavaliering talking about a shutdown of government because he's not getting his way on the wall, it's just kind of startling.
In fact, it was Saturday that the White House statement said, yes, FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, would provide necessary equipment and resources to California in the wildfire fights. Out here, our eyes probably are off elections for a while, but as of today, Ken, it is less than 100 days until the midterm elections.
Well, you know, it always seems like there's always an election coming up, but you're absolutely right. It's 99 days as of today, so just a little bit over 3 months. And, of course, the battle for control of the House and Senate is still in full swing. As you just saw in that All Things Considered commercial, you heard somebody mention that the Democrats need a net gain of 23 seats to take back the House, make Nancy Pelosi Speaker, and, of course, assuming that the Democrats rally behind her. And one of the elections that everybody's watching actually is even before that, August 7th, next Tuesday, where there's a special election in Columbus, Ohio, a historically Republican seat that the Democrats have a shot of winning with a guy named Danny O'Connor. So that's one to watch, too. If the Democrats do win that special election in Ohio, of course, it often, as we often see, that these special elections portend what difficulties the losing party may have in November. And so both parties are watching the August 7th special election very, very closely.
The news cycle over the weekend was dominated by President Trump, his former attorney, Michael Cohen, his Attorney General Rudy Giuliani. And then what I found interesting this morning is the discussion of whether content in the president's tweets can be grounds for collusion. Like, we're now evaluating what is in a tweet and how can it or can it not be used?
Well, of course, I think that little slip, you know that, of course, Rudy Giuliani is not the president's attorney general, but he is his attorney.
Sorry, that's for sure.
And Rudy Giuliani basically is saying whatever Robert Mueller is saying is wrong, whatever Michael Cohen is saying is wrong, whatever anybody who's opposed to Donald Trump is saying is wrong. But clearly Robert Mueller is looking at the president's tweets. I mean, basically, as everybody has said, that what the president tweets is government policy, since he is not only the president, but in many ways, he's also the Secretary of State, Secretary of Defense, the head of the National Intelligence, and, you know, all those kind of things, because basically Trump runs things, and many of the people in his cabinet and his administration are just playing, you know, a subsidiary role. But the fact is that Mueller is looking at the tweets, and when you see the president talking about, well, you know, I fired James Comey because he was talking about Russia, that is certainly as much evidence as Mueller may need to build the case on perhaps obstruction of justice. So to say that it's not just what the president says on a recorded phone call, as Michael Cohen may have, but the tweets themselves could put the president in hot water. And Republicans have been warning them about this for the longest time. They said, don't say these things that you say in the tweets, because they could come back to bite you. And that may very well be the case.
Well, Ken, I think you know we've had so much fire coverage in this hour. I'm going to leave it there right now. We'll talk to you again next Monday or sooner if things warrant. But I appreciate your messages, your thoughts and prayers to everybody out here.
Absolutely, Beth. Prayers to everybody out there and to you and your staff. Keep doing the amazing job you're doing.
I think, as you said to me yesterday, California remains one of the most beautiful places on earth, and at times one of the scariest as well.
That's how I feel, and that's how I'm watching it, just heartbreaking, and just hoping everybody stays safe.
Thank you, Ken. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Capital Public Radio.